Look up when you've done all you can, and all that's left to do is stand. Look up, look up.
Upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin.
Hey, look up, child.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another year of the Looking Up Show. And what an exciting year we have for you. We have the Looking Up Show on right now, and we are looking forward to another year highlighting Bible prophecy in light of Bible prophecy. So, current events, I should say, in light of Bible prophecy. So, my name is Danny. And I'm joined with my co-host, Sharissa, and we are ready to roll for another year. So, looking forward to this year. So, Sharissa, welcome to 2025.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and now I'm wearing the right headset. We just had a little panic here in the studio, but it's good to be here. And wow, what a year it's been already.
Wow, we aren't even through January yet, and it's happening thick and fast.
Full of drama.
Can you believe it? So hope you had a good break. Did you have a good break?
We went to California for Christmas, and then we flew to Ohio for a gathering called GYC, which was very exciting. And then we came back.
Tell us briefly, what's GYC all about?
GYC stands for Generation Youth Christ, and it's a youth movement, but it's really representative of young people from around the world. They come together to be inspired and equipped and trained for service and mission. And they're particularly inspired to share God's end time message, the everlasting gospel, to the world. So there was 4,500 in attendance at this event. It was really, sometimes you can be serving God and, following Jesus in your corner of the world. But when you go to something like that, you're reminded that you're part of a global family, which is very, very encouraging. So that was really good.
Praise the Lord.
We had lots of nice meetings with friends and making new friends there. Then on our way back to Australia, not only did we lose Judah's luggage.
Oh.
We haven't come back with it, and we're hoping the insurance company will be good to us.
Hasn't arrived.
Well, it's over there, but they won't pay for it to come back because long story. Nobody needs to worry about it, but that's one of the dramas. And then he picked up a virus on the plane. And I got it too. It was influenza A and B, and Justin got it. And so we were knocked out. It felt like influenza A, B, C, D, E, F. It was the best virus I've ever had in my life. It was worse than COVID, I felt. Wow. It just literally knocked us off our feet. But we're all recovered, and we're praising the Lord with strong immune systems, ready for the year ahead.
Well, you're looking fine. I would have had no idea. And we've got the one and only wonderful, spectacularly wonderful Rochelle. Welcome, Rochelle.
Hey, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good to have you on board, Rochelle. And do you know what? Today, Rochelle and I, and you soon, are wearing our Faith FM t-shirts.
So we're in uniform just so everyone can see us.
Absolutely. So that hopefully the show in 2025 will be more polished because we are wearing the Faith FM gear.
There you go.
Thanks to our mate, Kyle Morrison. So he and a couple of his buddies, Pastor Justin Lawman and the other guy, forget his name. I always forget his name. It's horrible.
Phil Yates.
That's it. I always forget Phil's name. So if you're listening, Phil, my humble apologies. It's just that I'm getting old. I'm well into my 50s now. And so it's all downhill, but they have a program on the Faith FM network on a Friday called The Perfect Storm.
Mm-hmm.
The Perfect Storm. So they talk about current events and Bible prophecy as well. And Sharissa, well, we've only been away for, five weeks or so since we had our last broadcast toward the end of last year.
Did you have a good Christmas break?
I did. I had my rallies turn up.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
And Rochelle met my rallies and they are so different to me. They're like normal people.
Is that true?
Yes, they were beautiful people.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, she's got to tell the truth. The Looking Up show is all about telling the truth. She can't lie. So, yeah, they're normal people, unlike myself. Anyway, my auntie is here for the first time from Macedonia, my dad's sister.
Wonderful.
So she doesn't speak any English, but she's loving life here in Australia, really enjoying her experience. Mm-hmm. So they came down. I was up there with them in Brisbane, where my dad and my two sisters are up that way. And so they've spent most of their time there. But I brought them down here last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we did a bit of a road trip. So we stopped a few places along the way, showed them, what a bit of the Australian coastline is from Brisbane to here. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday afternoon, we went to the Ellen White House where Rochelle bumped into him.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
Sunnyside.
And by the way, a great place to visit where Ellen White spent 5 years of her time here in Currumbung, was it from 96 to the year? From 1896 to 1900, I think.
Yeah, that's my worst, my weakest point of being a tour guide. There is the dates.
Something like that. Anyway, she spent a number of years here, and so that's open to the public every Saturday afternoon. So they can go. Apart from that, a few other things which I will probably share after our song because we're kind of running out of time, Sharissa, as always.
Sorry, yeah, I asked too many questions. Neville Peter, going to bring to us Nothing Between, and then we'll continue to talk about so many things. There's so much to talk about right after this song. Enjoy and be blessed.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world or my fondest dreams. I have renounced sin and all of its pleasures. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasures. All my habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between.
I surrender all to your will, all to your way, God, everything. 'Cause there's nothing between, oh, nothing between, Lord, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, no, 'cause
That was Neville Peter bringing to us Nothing Between, ending there with I Surrender All. Such a beautiful, beautiful song. And you're listening to a live broadcast of the Looking Up Show. It happens to be Wednesday, the 22nd of January, 2025. We ran out of time in our introduction.
We did. I was just giving a little brief. Well, it wasn't so brief. It's never brief with me, is it?
No.
On my rallies, I mentioned my auntie.
Yes.
Who came, but also her granddaughter. So that would be my first cousin. They live in Italy. Her daughter, Anna, or Anastasia, actually. We sort of call her Anna. But anyway, they came, and she was sitting there where you are.
Really?
Was our friend Anastasia, and she That's took a good. Photo here with the headset at the studio here. The Faith of MCS, so she was really, really excited.
Good.
So she speaks English and she's really loving it. It's her first time in Australia as well. She's 21 and, loves the lifestyle. So if you're listening, Anna, I told her I'll give her a big shout out today. So if you're listening, big shout out to you. Also, I told several others I'd give them a big shout out. I had lunch with a few guys there from Brisbane, my brother-in-law, Andy, and a couple of his mates, Jan, who I play tennis with, but unfortunately the weather was bad, so we couldn't play tennis. And Lesh, this guy Lesh. And so, yeah, caught up with him and told him to be listening because I would say a big hello. And I even got a call from our friend David.
Oh.
David in WA, you know.
Oh, yes.
Our friend David in WA.
He was going to invite you over there.
Yeah, exactly right. So maybe one of these days, David, I'll get there. I'll get there. So anyway, he called us up, and I do need to add this. Some of our listeners may have tuned in last week, I think last Wednesday, and possibly the previous one, and there was a bit of miscommunication here,
right.
A bit of a technical issue, and there was nothing.
No.
Normally there is a repeat of a Looking Up show from the past.
Silence.
But there was dead silence.
Oh, wow.
There was dead silence for a couple of weeks.
Was that also because of the storm?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We all lost power, and they lost power here.
Could have been.
And we couldn't come in.
Maybe that had something to do with it. I spoke to Brad, who is the director for programming. He happens to live now here in our part of the world, believe it or not. Sure, he's in Corumba. Brad, yes. So I caught up with him on Friday. He was here in the studio doing some work when I brought Anna and my auntie over. And, yeah, he shared that, he just got a bit – he forgot. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's easy to do over the holiday period. So my apologies to those who would have been even, waiting for a previous program and it didn't happen. But anyway, hopefully all should be well. Hopefully you can all hear us. Please let us know if we're online. Is anyone sending any messages through yet? All right.
Not yet.
So David, I'm sure you're listening.
We should give them the number 0488-817-624. That's the number you can text us on.
Yes.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do you want to tell them about our free offer?
I should. So today we have a book by Kurt Johnson. It's life-changing stories from the Voice of Prophecy Bible School, which will be really, really interesting. It's called Just a Scrap of Paper. If you're interested in finding out what these testimonies are, you will read of stories of changed lives and you'll end up praising God even more for the great things he has done and continues to do. But if you're interested in this book, just keep listening because we will have a code word, which we will release just a bit later on in today's broadcast. But there are 5 copies of this book available for the first 5 people who correctly text in the code word. So be listening, and we hope you are a winner today.
And what a great code word to start off the year with.
Well, they don't know what it is yet, but that is a great word.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
It's coming.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. All right then, Charissa, shall we delve into what's making news headlines from a prophetic point of view? Because that's why we're here.
Yes, yes. Well, I guess we can go back a bit.
Yeah, let's go back a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the fires, first of all, because we just got back from California. And, yeah, when we did, then we hear about those fires that were just...
So were you there when they started?
No, we got back, and then they started over there. And they were unprecedented is a word that was used over and over again. I'm just looking up here. More than 23,000 acres have burned. And even though the fires aren't really making headlines, they're still not all completely out there. And they've been battling. I'm looking here at other news things here saying, you know, the winds are dying down, which is a good thing. But yeah, there's so much, grief and heartache. So many people have lost their lives. Not their lives, their homes. Some have lost their lives.
Over 20, I think, or about 28 or so, was the latest update that I had. I think the Eaton and Palisades fires and they're saying from what I was reading that, you know, between $200 and $250 billion worth of damage has been inflicted. Wow. The largest cost in financial terms in US history when it comes to fires.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is just off the scale. This is just huge. And obviously a lot of these homes were very expensive, mm-hmm. Where they were located. They're in the Hollywood Hills. And, you know, to make matters worse, from what I understand, a lot of insurance companies pulled out from providing insurance when it comes to fire-related damage.
That's right. Yeah, it's really, really shocking. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures that have been flying around the news or social media of what was burning from the air. But it was massive. It looked like the whole city was on fire, and in many respects, whole suburbs have been destroyed. It's just massive.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to go with one headline here, this is from our own ABC News here in Australia, and this was on January 9, and the headline was Apocalyptic Scenes as Wildfires Tear Through Los Angeles.
Hmm.
They're using biblical language.
Yes.
Little do they know what that word apocalypse means.
That's right.
It means revealing. The book of Revelation is the apocalypse. That's what the word literally means, to reveal, to unveil. When that word is used in the news headlines, it's in connection with something that's beyond comprehension, something we can't even describe, so they use the word apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. You know that book we often quote from that was written over 100 years ago?
Yeah, The Great Controversy, which I have here today, we'll be quoting from that.
Yeah, the same author, she wrote so many things, and some of the things, this is a quote from her, it's in a book written, it's called Maranatha, it says, "In the last scenes of this earth's history, war will rage, there will be pestilence, plague and famine." None of this is new to us. Jesus said these things would happen. I'm reading a quote about someone who's talking about what Jesus said. She said, "The waters of the deep will overflow their boundaries, property and life will be destroyed by fire and flood. We should be preparing for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for them that love him." I guess in these times of crisis when, you know, the ground beneath you shakes in an earthquake or your possessions are all lost and go up in flames, it really highlights that what's most important, and that is your life in the hands of Christ. Like, absolutely, that's the most important thing, because everything else can be lost. But if you put your life in the hands of Christ, you are safe and eternally safe.
Amen. That is really neat. And I love what, you know, in connection with what you've just said and in connection with the fires that have not only destroyed so many homes and sadly lives that cannot be replaced. But Jesus actually talked about this, and I'm just going to the passage there in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to try and find it really, really quickly if I can, because there he talks about where do we lay up our treasures? Do we lay up our treasures in the, you know, in bricks and mortar? And if you could read for us, if you've got it there, Matthew chapter 6, where are we here? I just saw it, then it went. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Or fires burn. I added that bit. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves, nor fire, we're adding, do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
So these are the words of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. And I've been actually just started this morning while I was walking my little best friend,
Gracie.
Yes, indeed. And I was listening to the book from that author that you just quoted from, Ellen White, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings.
Right.
And it's a beautiful book. Oh, you can listen to it online. You can read it. I'd encourage everyone. This year, it's a great year to tap into that book. Yeah, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings is a commentary, an inspired commentary on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And, you know,
so practical.
It is so practical. And as I'm thinking, and that's just a little plug for that book, I'd encourage everyone to read it, to listen to it this year, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. But here, Jesus is very clear, you know, don't lay up for yourself treasure on this earth, whether it be a fire, whether it be a hurricane, or in our case, a cyclone, whether it be a flood. Whatever the case may be, whether it be things going pear-shaped because you've lost your health, you've lost your job, whatever the case may be, we should not store up our treasure here on earth. But Amen. Instead, store your treasure in heaven, because in heaven there is no destruction, there is no destroyer, because he has come to his end here.
Amen. And we should, speaking of loss of property, and we could even mention here loss of life, a pastor in the...
Yes, yeah, very sad. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
Well, Pastor Willie Strickland, who is serving in Queensland, South Queensland Conference.
Yes, that's right.
And he was in the top part of our North New South Wales Conference here for a wedding rehearsal.
He was, yeah, that's right, and up in the Mwulumbah area.
That's right, and just on, was it Saturday night?
Saturday night he was heading back home or somewhere to some, you know, place where he was residing in between. The wedding was the next day.
That's right.
And, yeah, he was going through some floodwaters through a causeway. He went through one apparently and got through. There was a wedding party behind him, or there was some other cars.
Two other cars.
Yeah, two other cars. So he was sort of leading this convoy, and then he went to the second causeway and, you know, sadly never made it. He got swept away and... Yeah, they only found his body, I think it was yesterday.
That's right.
Or the day before.
Might have been the day before.
Yeah, what's today, Wednesday?
It was on Monday they found him.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just like, how
very
quickly,
sad.
Like, you know.
Yeah, just
life,
like that.
Just like that, life changed for his family, for him, you know. And I think what was one of the most touching things about this very terrible story is 170 people from the community and the local church and family and, yeah, they went out to look for him.
Even his fellow pastors, his colleagues, you know, went out looking for him. Yeah.
And I think I read that a thought from the family that he was actually showing other people to their accommodation from the wedding guests.
Oh,
and I thought, you know, I had a thought about that because I thought it was so sad. And I thought, in a way, it's like he gave their life for them, because if he wasn't there, it may have been...
It may have been one of them.
It's, it's sad.
Mm. Well, you know, it's just a terrible thing, but his son put out just a very positive, faith-filled message to all those who are following, you know, and it said, the first part of it said, praise God.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, Dad has been found. And then he went on to say how the body was recovered. But I was just very impressed with that post, because
starting off with praising God,
you know, even in a time of pain and crisis. But as you know, we're talking here about laying up your treasure in heaven, like even our lives, you know, nothing is guaranteed. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. The only thing that is sure is God's word and the hope that we can have in him through Christ. And I believe, as I know you do, that Pastor Willie, he will live again when Jesus comes.
Well, he dedicated his life to serving God and to sharing the good news of Jesus' soon return.
Amen.
When
he was
Jesus,
looking up.
He was looking up. He was looking up. And where, you know, Jesus will, through his coming, bring an end to sin, suffering, and sorrow. And,
Amen.
You know, death, destruction, and all that brings so much pain and suffering will come to an end. And it reminds me, you know, you talked about this post from Pastor William's son, beginning with praise God. I read that this morning. Someone sent it through to me. And it reminds me of Job. You know, when you read through the horrendous experience that he experienced, like in a matter of moments, literally one day everything changed. His life was literally ripped apart from him. The Bible says he fell down in his knees, or it says he worshiped God.
Amen.
He worshiped God. And that's because of the blessed hope. And and in that post of the son of Pastor William, he refers to the second coming.
He does.
Says, we will see our father again.
That's
he speaks
what he said.
Of the second coming. And Job, likewise, he says, in my flesh, I shall see my God.
Amen.
Not another, but me, I will see him. And so that's the blessed hope that we have. That's why the Looking Up show is called Looking Up, because Jesus said, when you see all this taking place, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. We have something better. And that's what Jesus was pointing his readers, his people to, something better.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a beautiful song here coming by Sandra Entenmann entitled Ready for the Storm. How appropriate as we continue to embark on this new year. We don't know what storms may be ahead, but we can be ready.
Amen.
And we look to Christ.
Amen.
Crashing, the tide rolls out. It's an angry sea, but there is no doubt that the lighthouse will keep shining out to warn a lonely sailor. And the lightning strikes and the wind cuts cold through the sailor's bones, through the sailor's soul, till there's nothing left that he can hold except a rolling ocean. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready I. Ready for the storm, I'm ready for the storm. Oh, give me mercy for my dreams, 'cause every confrontation seems to tell me what it really means to be this lonely sailor. And when the sky begins to clear, the sun it melts away my tears, and I cry a silent weary tear for those who mean to love me. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm. The distance, it is no real friend, and time will take its time, and you will find that in the end it brings you me, this lonely sailor. And when you take me by the hand and you love me, Lord, you love me, and I should have realized I had no reasons to be frightened. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Shell. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 88 0856.
Listening to the Looking Up Show still, we've been going through a little bit of a backlog of current events, but a reminder again about our giveaway today. We've only got 5 copies of this little book entitled Just a Scrap of Paper. Kurt Johnson has compiled some life-changing stories from the Voice of Prophecy Bible School, which I think will be very inspiring to listen to, read. I love reading testimonies about how God reaches people. Amen. In the most unexpected ways. So if you're interested in hearing some of these and reading them for yourself, then we're going to give away the code word. When do you want to give it away?
We'll give it next one.
All right. So just keep listening, because the first 5 people to text in the code word will receive this book. And if you're interested in connecting with us, we'd love to hear from you. If you're listening, just
well,
so
there's
we know.
2 people that are actually listening.
Really?
There's 2 at least.
There's 2.
My sister, Lydia. I pay her to listen.
Yeah, yeah.
So that way at least someone's listening. She sent me a text, says, Anna and I are listening, but not sure if any of the others are. Thanks, sis. Don't you just love little sisters?
Well,
full of encouragement. Encouragement, as always.
And if you'd like to let us know you're listening as well.
Yeah, let us know.
The number, 0488-817-624.
And also, if you have an interest in potentially studying the Bible, learning how you can have that peace in the storms of life. And that's my subject on Sabbath, my first Sabbath.
Awesome.
By the way, I've got a new church. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, Raymond Terrace.
Oh, really?
Church. So I'm very sad that I have been asked to leave under good positive circumstances.
Wow.
The university church, which I loved. I was there only there for a year, but I really loved my time there. They're just full on.
Do you
on.
Have 2 churches still?
So I still got 2 churches. I've got Boolaroo.
Nice.
And I've got the Raymond Terrace Mission Church. So in the main street of Raymond Terrace.
Yes.
So come and check us out. We are there. We provide food pretty much every single Sabbath.
Wonderful.
Which is great. So I was there last Sabbath. That was my first Sabbath. Spoke about Zacchaeus. That's one of my favorite stories. And this Sabbath at Boolaroo, I'm talking on the subject of how to have peace in the storms of life.
Amen.
So I'm going to start this year off by looking at different chapters in the life of Christ and how people with great needs found hope and found peace and found, you know, healing through his ministry.
Sounds really, really good.
So that's that. Now, I do want to just share, you shared a quote from Ellen White from their book, Last Day Events, was it?
Maranatha, sorry.
Similar. Yeah, similar book.
Probably in the same book.
Yeah, so here's another quote from Last Day Events, which is a compilation of final events. Messages, statements from Ellen White. And this is what she writes there on page 112. And listen to these words. God is withdrawing his spirit from the wicked cities, which have become as the cities of the antediluvian world. That's the period prior to the destruction of the world by a flood or Noah's day. That's what the word antediluvian means, in case you may be wondering. And as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes on, she says, costly mansions, marvels of architectural skill will be destroyed without a moment's notice when the Lord sees that the owners have passed the boundaries of forgiveness. The destruction by fire of the stately building, supposed to be fireproof, is an illustration of how, in a short time, Earth's architecture will lie in ruins.
Wow.
So, you know, we need to realize something. It's a sober reality. We don't often talk about it. We don't often want to think about it, and for good reason. But as God's Holy Spirit is withdrawn from the world more and more, yes, God's Holy Spirit is being poured out. 2 things are happening at the same time. There are those that are turning their backs on God. They are willfully turning their backs on God, and that's what And that's what the author here, Ellen White, means when she speaks of the Holy Spirit with being withdrawn. Those who are saying, no, thank you, God. We're not interested in you. We're not interested in your plans. We're not interested in what you have to offer. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into the hearts of those who are willfully rejecting him and choosing to align themselves with the enemy and follow his template.
That's right.
And when that takes place, God has no choice but to withdraw his Holy Spirit, and then sadly the effects follow. The enemy then has an opening, and Satan comes in, and his way is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. And so this is what will be happening more and more. But at the same time, the good news is, the upside is that the Holy Spirit is there seeking those who are seeking God.
Amen.
To lead them and to guide them. So the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from those who are hardening their hearts and is being drawn to those who are seeking and searching. These two things are happening simultaneously.
That's a very beautiful and encouraging thought, because we're not left alone in this world.
We're not
God
left
said,
alone.
Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And through the person of the Holy Spirit, that is possible.
Amen and amen. Well, shall we now head off to what's just transpired in the last couple of days in the United States of America? All eyes have been on the United States in the last 48 hours or so since the inauguration of President Donald Trump. And he did warn the world that it was going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Get your popcorn ready, is what I say to folk. It's going to be full on. It's going to be full on. This is going to be something that Hollywood and its script writers cannot even describe. And so much has already happened.
Yeah.
And I need to give a plug. We got to encourage that which is like on point. The Breakfast Show.
Absolutely.
If you listen to The Breakfast Show, you have been listening the last couple of days to Lawson and Scaffy give their take from a prophetic point of view, I'm sure, on the events that have transpired there with the inauguration. Because I have here on the desk, they've left it behind here, possibly for us or possibly to continue this journey with their listeners. They've got here one, Executive Orders, the American Presidency Project. So they've got an article on that that they've printed off. A whole bunch of stats and facts. And they've got another one here, all the executive orders Donald Trump has signed, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's 78 in total. So that's a big document.
Well,
he reversed the 78.
I think he reversed 78. Yeah, he actually issued almost 50 individual orders, which is an enormous amount.
It's a big
game. Like no one's ever issued that many on day one.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then you've got something else that's on the table
here. Yeah, on the other side, The Breakfast Show has left to us Donald Trump's inauguration speech and some of the highlights here, which we can talk about.
Which we will be talking about. All right. So there's a lot now. Now, why are we talking about this? It's like, are we just another talking head, another, you know, news talking head like the rest, or are we looking at it from a different point of view? Absolutely we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not looking at it from the point of view of the news, your mainline news. We're looking at these headlines from a prophetic point of view. And we've been saying over and over again that the United States will be the epicenter of end time Bible prophecy. And guess what, Sharissa?
It's
the epicenter. It's the epicenter of world news right now.
Amazing.
And will continue to be. Because the world is on edge. World political leaders are walking on eggshells. They've got no idea
how
the trumpet is going to sound tomorrow.
That's right.
They've got no idea. They just know the trumpet's going to sound. They've got no idea if it's going to be in their direction, if it's going to be good.
Yep.
Or if it's going to be a bad trumpet.
That's right.
I've got no idea.
Well put.
Anyway, so just to let you know where we are. This was Channel 9, and I've been busy with my lovely visitors, as I pointed out, taking them here, there, and everywhere from. So I haven't really been keeping up with the news. So last night, as I was taking my little mate, my little best mate for her walk, at like 9 o'clock at night, which you can do in Currumbong. You can do that in Currumbong because it's safe.
Yep.
I was listening to the Channel 9 wrap-up of...
I listened to them,
you
too.
You did too? Okay, the Channel 9 wrap-up is about 14, 15 minutes. Did you notice, did you take note of the last two words of this, you know, 15-minute, you know, report on the inauguration?
I took note of something else in the middle of it.
Okay.
It might have been a different report, but it was a Channel 9 thing. So what did you hear?
The two words at the end of it all that were just saying, this has happened, this is going on, this is what he's signed, this is what he's said, you know, they were just beside themselves saying this had never happened before, and this was, and they used the two words, and I jotted them down. They said, we're living in, get it, extraordinary times.
Mm.
Channel 9, they said, that were the last two words, extraordinary times.
Yep.
That was saying so much has happened so quickly in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
This reminded me of the words Ellen White wrote. Are you ready for this?
Then we're going to get to yours.
Yes. Folk, we're only just getting started, folk.
That's right.
All right. This is what she writes in the book Testimonies, Volume 9, page 11, chapter 1. It's entitled The Last Crisis. All right. Listen to this. She says, we're living in the time of the end. Now, folk, we got to remember these words were written over 100 years ago. Okay. This was not written last week or the week before or last year or even 20 years ago. These words were written over 100 years ago. All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We're living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. Mm-hmm. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. That's what we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those who are hardening their hearts. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are all portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. Now, what kind of events will they be and how quickly will they happen? She goes on. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. And now these words. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be
rapid ones.
Extraordinary times.
Yes.
Unprecedented times. Yes. That's what we're hearing.
We're getting close to those birth pains, getting closer together.
We are getting there. So tell us, what did you hear?
What I heard was them making a reference to Donald Trump's second term as being his second coming, and they likened it to the second coming of Jesus. That's what I heard. It was on a Channel 9 commentary.
I heard that idea like, of the second coming, yes. Well, the Bible does say that Jesus will come with the sound of a trumpet.
But it's not this trumpet.
It's not this trumpet. It's not this trumpet. But the reality is, and we will look at scripture in just a little bit, but the reality is that we are getting there. All right. So now, Sharissa, let's take a look at, and by the way, just quickly before we move on, those Santa Ana wins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the word Santa Ana means? It means Saint. Devil's winds.
Oh.
Those winds that went through California, devil's winds. There might be more truth to that than we know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So let's take a look at what's taking place here. Now, it's interesting in this book, The Great Controversy. I was just reading it today, and there the author in that chapter entitled The Impending Conflict. She there talks about the scenario that will be taking place in the last days and what will be taking place in the courts of justice and in politics, and especially when it comes to law and order.
Mm-hmm.
And these five words caught my attention. Courts of justice are corrupt.
Mm.
Corruption. Mm. Now, let's think about what we have just witnessed. Ex-President Biden pardons his whole family.
Yeah.
He pardons his two brothers and his sisters for potential crimes that they may have committed.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that, you know, what are people to make of that?
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about what Donald Trump will potentially do to him and to his family.
Mm-hmm.
Pardons Anthony Fauci. Pardons a number of others.
It was a whole bunch of people on death row as well.
Yeah.
Look, except for a few.
Look, I understand. I understand that there are those that have potentially, you know,
mm-hmm. changed their hearts
mm-hmm. but someone who hasn't even been convicted, someone who hasn't even been before the courts,
mm-hmm.
someone who, I mean, how do we do that? That all smells on corruption. That's true. And you know what that reminded me of?
Donald Trump went and pardoned a whole bunch of people too.
Yes, he has. He pardoned over 1,500 of those January 6 convicted. Yeah, rioters. So we are seeing what is taking place, Charissa.
Yes. Signs of the times are everywhere. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus in these times. We're going to listen to that hymn right now, and then we're going to continue to unpack these events as they relate to Bible prophecy.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. Just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
Absolutely, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. That was the Bluegrass Worship Band, and this is the Looking Up Show live on a Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday the 22nd of January. Well, you were sharing an amazing quote before, but before we go back to that quote, we should give away the code word.
Indeed, it's time.
Do you want to tell them what it is?
All right, folk, here we are. The drum roll.
That's a very good drum roll.
There are sound effects there. Where's the sound effect for the drum roll? Here we go.
Yeah, it worked.
It's working. I can hear it.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! There we go. It was a very quiet drum roll. Here we go. All right. The code word is, are you all ready, folk, to text
ready?
Give us that number again quickly.
0488-817-624.
So here we go. The code word is LU25 paper. P-A-P-E-R.
That's right. If you text in that code word, L-U-2-5, paper, all one word, no emojis, text it to the number 0488-17624. Then if you're one of the first five people to do that, you will receive today's giveaway, which, as we mentioned before, a great little book entitled Just a Scrap of Paper. These are life-changing testimonies of people who got involved in Bible studies and, yeah, it changed their lives.
Absolutely. And if you are wanting your life changed through Bible study, please Give us your details. We'll get in touch with someone who is nearby. We don't care where you live. We'll get in touch with someone who lives near you that'll be able to study the Bible with you, either a church pastor or a Bible worker. They're everywhere, aren't they? The Bible workers, they're everywhere, and they do a great job. And they love to study the Bible with people on whom the Holy Spirit is working, not withdrawing, but is working on their hearts.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Do you want me to just share a little more on this? Okay.
Yes. Finish that quote.
Yeah. This is a very powerful quote. Like I said, it's from the book Great Controversy, which I would encourage you to read in between. Sharissa was just sharing with me that she's been convicted that she needs to get into that book again. I started reading that book again over the holidays, but I started from the last chapter backwards.
I've read it
from front to back every single time, but this time I decided, hey, let's read from the last chapter, chapter 42, backwards, and I've gained some incredible insights doing that. So anyway, this is how that statement continues. So that's in the chapter, The Impending Conflict. We started off, the courts of justice are corrupt. It goes on, rulers are actuated by desire for gain and love of sensual pleasure. Mm-hmm. She goes on, jurists are perverted, bribed, deluded. She says, drunkenness and revelry, passion, envy, dishonesty of every sort are represented among those who administer the laws. And then she quotes from Isaiah 59 verse 14. And she quotes from the King James, but I'm going to quote it from the New King James. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. And then verse 15, also very important. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Mm-hmm. And so here we have a prediction. Mm-hmm. You know, she's showing that in that final struggle between good and evil, courts of justice will become corrupt. There'll be corruption in the highest places of our nation, in government, in the laws, in the courts. And we talk about this lawfare. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a term that's been coined only recently, lawfare. We didn't have that 20 years ago, lawfare. No one knew what there was. That term didn't exist, lawfare.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting that we're living in a day and age where right is wrong and wrong is right often. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the same book, Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are living now in a day and age where, yeah, sadly, political corruption is now the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get you, wait until I get into office and I'm going to sort you out. You tried to get me, I'm going to try and get you.
Yeah, the whole world feels very volatile.
Absolutely.
Right now, everything on so many fronts. Yeah. Wars, all of that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And so what's also interesting, just continue on with our friend ex-President Biden. Now we've got to refer to him.
I was wondering, which friend is it this time?
Do you know that his last overseas trip was to be with Pope Francis?
But it didn't happen.
It didn't happen because of the Los Angeles fires.
Right.
But notice, he wasn't able in person to deliver this award, but the president awarded Pope Francis the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction, the highest U.S. civilian honor. It's incredible.
Yeah.
This is incredible. So his last trip was going to be to the Vatican to meet with Pope Francis.
Amazing.
That falls in line with Revelation 13, doesn't it?
It does. And that same book that we've been quoting from, which expands on what is in Revelation, has this quote.
Do you want to read it?
I'll read it quickly. It says, this is from page 588 and 89 of The Great Controversy. It says, the Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible, isn't it?
It is.
That is absolutely incredible. And so this is what we have taking place. And Revelation 13, maybe we should just go there before we continue on. And then I've got something very, very interesting to share. just to follow on from what you've shared. And by the way, people may be thinking, is that really Danny with that husky voice? I lost my voice about 10 days ago.
Oh, no.
So it's kind of coming back. My wife was very happy for the first week or so, but now my voice is coming back and she's like, oh, no. Back to the usual, back to the usual. So anyway, all right, Revelation 13, and here it speaks of the United States of America forming this image to the beast, which is the Roman papacy. And Revelation 13, verse 11 and 12, if you want to read that.
Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
Mm-hmm. And verse 12.
Then he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay, so who will cause the whole world to follow in the dictates of Rome and what Rome says ought to go in the end times?
The earth beast.
The earth beast, which is the United States. Of America. So this
that
close,
is a unique identification, by the way.
That is very unique.
Because I've looked on YouTube and tried to see what are some other perspectives on this, and there's a lot of confusion, but I haven't heard any other channel preaching that it's the United States. But it's amazing, as we will continue to unpack, when you put that, fill in the blank with that identifying characteristic that it's the U.S., wow, it opens up. It makes so much sense. It does.
His last official trip as president was to be to the Vatican, to bestow this highest of civil, awards to Pope Francis. That's huge.
It is.
That is huge. That's not just something, well.
This is from a country where, way back when, presidents wouldn't even greet the Pope if they came to visit.
Absolutely.
And now.
And, you know, we've talked about it in the past in connection with meetings between popes and presidents. The first 50 years from about 1919, there wasn't many at all. But then later on, the numbers just went through the roof.
That's right.
And I've talked about this at length. Where are we here? I don't have this here. So I'll leave that for now, but I'll go back to where I need to be. And this is, this was really, really interesting. Donald Trump, invited Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who's a Catholic, to lead the opening prayer for his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he invited him 8 years ago in 2017. And he invited him again this time. And it's interesting what Cardinal Dolan said to Donald Trump. Listen to this. This was from the Catholic News Agency. They published this on January 6, 2025. This is what it says. Cardinal Timothy Dolan will lead the opening prayer for President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20. The president was, this is what Cardinal Dolan says. He says, the president was kind enough to ask me to do the opening prayer. He asked me to do this in 2016 and he's asking me again. Anyway, this is what, Cardinal Dolan shared with Donald Trump. He says, I reminded Trump that when Ronald Reagan visited John Paul II, both of them had been victims of vicious assassination attempts and barely escaped alive. We're going to get to that in the speech that Donald Trump gave at his inauguration. And Ronald Reagan said, so this is Ronald Reagan, and he's speaking to the then Pope, John Paul II.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Holy Father, Mother Teresa told me that God spared my life because he's got something important for me to accomplish. And John Paul II grinned at him and said, Mr. President, Mother Teresa told me the same thing. So, listen to this. Here we go. Listen to this. This is what Cardinal Dolan is sharing with Donald Trump. This conversation that took place between John Paul II and, what's his name? John Paul II and Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. President, this is John Paul II saying, why don't the two of us work together and get something done in the world? And what happened? Communism fell.
Wow.
Hello? Did something big happen when the two came together? It's on the front page of the Time magazine.
Yep.
I had no idea about this conversation.
Mm.
This is so, so huge because when we get to it, in his speech at the inauguration, he said very clearly, God has spared my life. I'm convinced God has spared my life and he has spared my life for a reason.
Right.
And there was incredible applause.
That's right.
Incredible applause. All right. Did you want to say anything on that?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. So that was really, really, really interesting. So, all right. So
that is interesting.
Now,
so should we talk about
Let's get into that.
This one, or should we talk about all the executive orders?
Well, where do you want to start? Do you want to deal with some of
the... Let's do the executive orders.
All right, let's do the executive orders.
Quite amazing.
There is a lot of them. Some of the items in the executive orders come up in his speech, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can try and cross them.
Yeah, the immigration issue, okay, emergency at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And so he issued that. I think that was one of the first things or the very first one that he issued. Undoing, you know, Biden's actions, as you already pointed out, Trump revoked 78 executive actions of the previous administration. Which he said he would do.
Yeah.
Diversity.
Yes.
Okay. DEI. Tell us what's DEI.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes, exactly.
Can you explain it?
Can I explain it? Just put me on the spot. Okay. Under the previous administration, you weren't necessarily hired based on your skills and your ability. You were potentially, and I'm using that word, you know, carefully and wisely, you were potentially hired for being diverse in order to ensure equity, you know, mm-hmm. we've got equality and inclusion.
Which would be a problem if you're going on a plane and you've got someone hired based on those things and not because they're actually a
because
really
they know how to fly the plane. Okay. And also, yeah, LGBTQ community are up in arms
because
he has now signaled and he signed an executive order that there are, believe it or not, Sharissa, newsflash, only two genders on the planet.
Yeah,
did you know that?
I did. And, you know, it's just, that's just amazing when you consider how the trend of our culture and of social media and everything that's happening. And all of a sudden, just like that, it's reversed.
So the 100 genders that you can identify 100 plus genders you can identify with on Facebook, from what I remember hearing, whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But now it's gone down to two. So we can see this pendulum swinging. All right, so that's a big one. TikTok.
Yeah.
All right. He's reversed a ban on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Inflation. The climate. We don't need to be part of the Paris Climate Accord because we're going to drill, baby, drill, as
you
said.
Right. Yeah.
So this is interesting. I mean, basically he's reversing. He's reversing everything the old administration has put in place, which is from a woke or from a very different point of view.
Oh, dear. There's so much that we haven't even got to yet, but Robin Mark is going to bring
still
to
got
us.
We've still got the address. That's a big one.
We've got the address. Will your anchor hold? We have an anchor in Christ. Let's listen to this song and be blessed. Robin Mark.
Hey, everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have an anchor
First verse, will your anchor?
Robin Mark bringing to us that beautiful timeless hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold? When we can have an anchor that holds firm when it's rooted in the Savior's
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
We are coming to you live in this Looking Up broadcast this afternoon, talking about what's been happening in the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
The very brave.
The very brave, just across the ditch there, across the ocean, the South Pacific. And it's... very interesting. We should remind people too of our code word. The code word is LU25 paper. And that's so you can text that word in, LU25 paper, text it into our number here in studio 0488-817-624. If you do that, you'll be receiving one of the first five people to do that. That is, you'll receive a beautiful book here, Just a Scrap of Paper by Kurt Johnson. And it's a collection of incredible stories of how the Bible has changed people's lives and what God can do. So we have been talking through the executive orders.
Yeah, we have. And probably just a couple more. And these are all some of the things we need to highlight is this administration is doing the complete opposite to where things were going for the last 4 years. And so this huge change, this pendulum swing, like obviously, you know, from when one government gets into another, there are changes. You know, mm-hmm. we expect that there's going to be changes, but not on this level. This is like in your face, such as we have never seen before. Yeah. Like we are talking about an incredible pendulum swing. It's also interesting that he brought out, an executive order on health and well-being. You pointed out, I think, before.
He pulled out of the World Health Organization.
Not just the Paris climate, mm-hmm. but he pulled out of the World Health Organization. And according to what the boys here have placed on the desk for us to have a look at, he also shared in that executive order that the Global Health Agency, WHO, had mishandled the COVID-19 pandemic and other international health crises. That's why they were pulling out. Mm-hmm. This is huge.
It is.
Because the United States is the biggest financial backer of the World Health Organization.
Mm.
It's the biggest.
Wow.
So when the big boy leaves,
what's it going to do to the organization?
Exactly right. And so this is why the United States is at the epicenter of end-time Bible prophecy.
It's the superpower of the world.
It is the superpower. And we're going to get to Donald Trump and his inauguration address very shortly. But it's interesting because I totally agree with some of these things in this particular order where you got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who he has tasked as being his health minister, and he wants to restore health back to America. He doesn't want Big Pharma just making billions and trillions of dollars of profit because people are eating bad food, children in particular eating food with all sorts of additives and substances and so forth in them. He wants to put a check on that. He wants to turn back the clock so that the United States is a healthy nation rather than one of the most wealthy and prosperous but unhealthy nations on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
To take care of the children in particular. Mm-hmm. So praise the Lord for that. And it's interesting that one of these executive orders, Donald Trump is reinstating individuals from the army. I think it was about 8,000 or so that I read that lost their jobs because they were not willing to take
the vaccine. The mandates. And then,
exactly.
But not only that, he's giving them their jobs back with back pay.
With back pay. Absolutely.
Which is huge.
Absolutely. So this is just absolutely incredible. And free speech. One of the orders was free speech, which I say hallelujah.
You've always had free speech.
Sorry?
You have a lot of free speech.
I have a lot of free speech, far more than I probably should. We've talked about the energy and there is just so much. Let me just see if there was anything else that I have missed out here that federal employees by and large to be working from home more and more. DOGE, the Department of, what was it?
Government Efficiency.
Government Efficiency, headed by Elon Musk and Vivek.
Yep.
That is supposed to be cutting like billions, maybe even trillions of dollars of potential, waste and so forth. So we've got all these things happening in the mix, all in 48 hours. We've got pardons.
Yeah.
We've got executive orders. We've got all these things taking place. Sharissa telling us that, things are – and you mentioned the hostages. Did you mention the hostages earlier?
I did.
We made note of this before the year ended because Donald Trump, you remember in that tweet, he said if the hostages are not released before January 20,
they will have all hell to pay.
They will have all hell to pay, literally in those words.
Yeah.
And on cue, the day before, literally the day before, Sharissa, Sunday, the day before the inauguration, the deal is struck, the first
by Biden.
By Biden, of course. By Biden, yes. Let's give credit where credit is due. And So really, really interesting. All right.
Very interesting.
My dear friend, let's go to the inauguration address because that has got so much. And if we've got time, I've got a few other interesting headlines from a prophetic point of view. Otherwise, we will hold them off till next week because we will be back.
Yes, we will.
All right. Okay. So, Sharissa, we need to begin at the beginning. All right. So
The very first line.
So we'll bypass the thank yous and who was there in attendance, including the one he ran against. It would have been an awkward moment for Vice President Harris, don't you reckon?
Oh, yeah.
It would have been an awkward moment. But anyway, I'm sure.
It would have been many awkward
moments. In the right spirit, she took it on board.
Yes.
This is how he begins. So after his said hi to everyone, all the who's who in the political zoo there. He says, and my fellow citizens. All right. Mm-hmm. These are the first words out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The golden age of America begins
right now.
Wow.
Yep.
He shared these words in his victory speech on election night. You remember that?
Yep.
He shared the words of the golden age of America. That's when that term first came, onto our screens and into our minds, the golden age of America.
Yep.
Guess how he ends his speech? Go right to the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Begin reading from We Will Stand Bravely. Do you have it there?
I have it here. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours, and our golden age has just begun. Thank you. God bless America. And then he gives a bunch of thank yous.
How does he begin his speech and how does he end his speech?
The With golden what? Age.
The golden age of America.
Ah, oh, wow. I just wow. got struck with something.
Okay, go for it. Here we go, the insights.
Oh, I was thinking about a golden image that went up and down.
Oh. Look at that, Rochelle. She's on the same page. Was there fire associated with that image?
Yes.
Is there
fiery furnace?
Is there an image in Revelation 13?
Yes.
Oh, my sister, we got to read this.
I can't believe I didn't have that happen.
Unbelievable. All right. So we've read verses 11 and 12.
Yes.
All right. Where the whole world will be forced by the United States of America. You remember when there were discussions whether the United States was a bit of a has-been? Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember that? That's not so long ago.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, we're kind of they're moving off.
Looks
the
like Russia was getting Russia,
China,
North Korea, China.
Yeah, you know the BRICS.
Yeah,
you know those BRICS are all falling apart, literally. Okay, let me not get too excited. All right, so let's keep reading verse 13 and 14.
He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
All right, okay. Now, in order to keep everyone on the same page, we're just going to be really brief with our comments. Here we're looking at spiritualism. We're looking at signs, miracles, and wonders as being part of the devil's final
toolbox.
Plan. Yeah, great. His big tool in his toolbox in order to deceive the world, in order that the world will go along with this image of the beast, which is this union of church and state, which is what happened in Daniel chapter 3.
Yes.
Remind our listeners of Daniel chapter 3.
Daniel chapter 3, world leader Nebuchadnezzar issues a decree that all peoples, nations should come and bow down and worship at the sound of music, this golden image, I'm assuming it was of himself, set up
probably.
In the plain of Dura. When the music played, they were to bow down before that image.
And if they didn't bow down?
They would burn. Bow or burn.
Bow or burn. Okay. Yeah. This is this same Nebuchadnezzar.
Thrown into a fiery furnace.
This is this same Nebuchadnezzar. I'm in Daniel chapter, so we're going to go here and there. Daniel chapter 4, where he has this dream of this tree that symbolizes him, this great tree. Mm-hmm. It's a great tree and all the birds and everyone nests there
I've
and all the animals.
I've always read this and thought it reminded me of Donald Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
America great again.
Absolutely.
Is this not great Babylon that I have built?
That's exactly where I was going. That is exactly where I was going. Verse 30, are you in Daniel chapter 4?
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 4. So Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, humble your heart. God is giving you one final chance. Humble your heart. Mm. You know, give God the credit. Humble your heart. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does Donald Trump need a little bit of humility?
We all do.
Okay. All right. We all do. Yeah. Now, let's have a look here. In fact, pick it up in verse 27. Daniel 4, verse 27.
Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. This is Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. That's actually amazing, isn't it? God gives 12 months.
12 months.
He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven.
So what comes before a fall?
Pride.
Pride comes before a fall. Now, look, I'm not saying that, you know, Donald Trump here is, you know, like that he speaks like Nebuchadnezzar. That's not for me to say, but what we do know is that Donald Trump believes that God has saved him to save the nation. Mm-hmm. We do know that because that's what he said. He said that. So let's go to that. So as we're putting these pieces together, folk, we are watching Bible prophecy literally fulfilled. You're not going to get this kind of commentary on Channel 9 or any one of those. Okay, here we go. I don't know if you've got it there from just a few months ago. Do you have that there or do you want me to read it?
You read it.
Okay, here we go. This is what he said in his speech at the inauguration just a few months ago. In a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then and believe even more so now that my life was saved for a reason. Mm-hmm. Remember that Dolan, Cardinal Dolan's words, mm-hmm. you know, speaking of Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II, mm-hmm. who were also, you know, assassinated. There were attempts placed on their lives and their lives were saved for a reason. Let's do something together. Right. We read that earlier. He says, but I felt that, Ian, believe that even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved. These are the words of Donald Trump. I was saved by God to make America great again. Have mercy. I take back those words. I take back those words. That's exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar said. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. Mm. No way. You can't make this stuff
there
up, Sharissa.
There are so many parallels, isn't there?
I was saved by God to make America great again.
Mm.
Is not this great Babylon that I have built, that I have made
mm-hmm.
for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty.
Mm.
Absolutely mind-boggling. Babylon was to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the image was of gold. And you remember?
That's right.
That image of gold is followed by, what was it preceded?
The head of gold was followed by the chests and arms of silver.
Exactly,
and
exactly,
bronze,
exactly.
And iron. But he's like, I don't want my kingdom to be followed by anyone else. I'll make the whole statue, which is like a timeline of history. I'll make it all of gold. So it's just Babylon.
All right. I got to read this. We've only got 40 seconds. This is the second thing that he says after the golden age of America begins right
yes.
now. Okay. The second thing that he says, from this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. We will be that entire image.
And our safety will be restored.
Yeah. Our sovereignty will be this. Oh,
it's just
incredible. And there's more, folk. Don't go away.
Let's listen to Matt Menikus featuring Clint McCoy bring to us Give Me
I need
the
a breath.
Bible.
Have mercy. We need the Bible. Breath. Hallelujah.
Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior dear. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can't show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day. In eternal day. In eternal day.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
We hope you are still looking up with us, because we have just got still some amazing things to share. We're excited about the things we're seeing in God's Word as we talk about what's happening
it's
in the world right now.
Incredible.
Reminder, the code word LU25 paper. Text that through to 0488-817-624. And if you're in the first five, you have a little gift coming to you, just a scrap of paper. But Pastor Danny,
you got to share an insight with our listeners.
Well, yeah, I was just listening as you read again from the beginning of Trump's speech, and he mentioned, from this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again. And he continues with all of those very wonderful ideas. But it reminded me of Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, which we've read already. But I just want to highlight that in the original Greek of this verse, when it says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth," that word "coming up" in the Greek,
anabaino, I think, yes, something like that.
Yeah, I've pulled it up here in my concordance, but it's actually reflective of, it describes like a plant growing and flourishing. Mm. And I just thought he mentioned the word flourish. And, you know, we definitely can see that the United States historically has been a nation that has flourished. Like, it's, you know, had humble beginnings, but God has definitely blessed this nation. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, its constitution, it's something that's, there's nothing like it in any other country in the world. So God has blessed this nation. But to see what's happening right now as it relates to, you know, what is before us in this end time context here with the Mark of the Beast crisis that has not yet happened. It is still future. It's very interesting that the United States is again positioning itself, according to Donald Trump, to flourish. It's going to be like nothing ever before, according to what he says. He says a lot of things, but yeah, it's just interesting.
Now, the language that he used in his speech, and I've dissected some of the key points. You know, it goes for 30 minutes, so we won't do that, and we'll tap into some of this at a later time. But this is our last segment, our last main segment for today. But this individual who was Person of the Year last year, Time Magazine's Person of the Year. I've got the copy here, haven't even opened it yet. That was sitting on my desk when I got home. It's interesting because toward the end of his speech, he speaks of, you know, the founding of America, this great nation, and there has not been another nation on the planet in the space of 250 years. 1776 to this day is just under 250 years. Next year will be 250 years exactly from when this nation was founded, that has been blessed with so much wealth, with so much power, with so much, prosperity and influence on the planet. There's been no nation on the planet in the space of a quarter of a millennium, 250 years, that has had that kind of footprint and influence. No nation. And it's interesting what he shares, and I'm going to go to Revelation, and I'm going to share with you that God predicted this would take place, and Donald Trump is simply highlighting what God said 2,000 years ago through Revelation. But this is what he said toward the back end of his speech. Excuse me. Sorry, that's the Malen cough, which I can say now because
it's still in 2025.
Free speech. Our American ancestors turned a small group of colonies on the edge of a vast continent into a mighty republic of the most extraordinary citizens on earth. No one comes close. True. He goes on. Americans pushed thousands of miles through a rugged land of untamed wilderness. Is in the wilderness, which is what America was, according to Bible prophecy. It would be this, you know, this beast that comes up from the earth, which symbolizes a nation that is sparsely populated, a wilderness. Mm. And the word wilderness, we're going to get to that in Revelation 12. You know I'm going there. Mm. They crossed deserts, scaled mountains, braved untold dangers, won the Wild West, ended slavery, rescued millions from tyranny, lifted billions from poverty, and he's speaking now the worldwide influence of the United States of America, of course, harnessed electricity, split the atom, launched mankind into the heavens, and one of the executive orders was to
plant the stars and stripes on Mars.
On Mars. Is not this America, the great America that I have built? I can just hear it. And notice this. And put the universe of human knowledge into the palm of the human hand.
Mm.
Steve Jobs. Mm. The iPhone, the smartphone. If we work together, there is nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. Many people thought it was impossible for me to stage such a historic political comeback, but as you see today, here I am. The American people have spoken. Now, have a look at what Revelation 12 says. You can't make this stuff up as we join the dots. Revelation 12 speaks of this woman, the church that would be persecuted, that would go into the wilderness, but then God would find a way forward. This church would move from the wilderness, from persecution, would find a land of freedom, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Read through from verse 14. This is Revelation 12 now, Revelation 12. And if you can read from verse 14 to verse 16, Revelation 12. 14 to 16.
But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent.
Okay, so this is that 1260-year period, correct. 538 to 1798.
Right.
What happens around the period of 1798? Keep reading.
So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood.
Okay, that's to destroy the church, to destroy God's true people.
Right.
Okay, keep going.
But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth.
Okay, who is the earth in Revelation 13, verse 11?
The United States.
So the earth swallowing up this flood, swallowing up the where did the pilgrims go? Where did all those that were persecuted go to find refuge?
The New World.
The New World, which was?
The United States.
The United States of America. God predicted that. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is saying, yes, our ancestors came as a small group of colonies on the edge of a vast continent, and now they have created a mighty republic of the most extraordinary citizens on earth. Absolutely spot on. God had his hand on that. But then what follows verse 16?
And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So this is that final conflict, isn't it?
That's it.
Over the law of God.
Yeah.
And over those who would remain faithful to him.
And I'm just thinking the correlation here between what we were talking about in Daniel chapter 3. There were people back in Daniel chapter 3 who, when this image was set up and there was forced worship enforced worship,
mm-hmm.
they didn't bow because they'd given their hearts to the God of heaven and they would be loyal to him. And there will be people, as we just read here, that frustrate the devil,
mm-hmm.
and his plans and his war and end time strategy, and they won't bow to receive the mark of the beast either. We know that from Revelation chapter 15, where it says in verse 2, John says, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have victory over the beast and over his image and over his the number of his name and over his mark, they're all standing on the sea of glass with harps. So they'll be victorious.
Yeah. They will not bow the knee. They will not bow the knee. They will stand tall during that final crisis. And it's interesting that the dragon in the very next chapter, that's Satan, he calls up his two allies. He calls up the sea beast, which is the Roman papacy, and the earth beast, which is the United States of America, and they form a union. And under this union, persecution comes to the United States, followed by the rest of the world.
That's right.
And we are seeing the United States of America and the Roman papacy drawing closer and closer together. So when we see on the news that Biden's final trip whilst president in office is to go to the Vatican to give the Pope the highest American honor, as far as civil honor, we ought not to be asking why. And when Donald Trump invites Cardinal Dolan to share the prayer at his inauguration again, and Cardinal Dolan reminds Donald Trump of what the president and the Pope back in the days of Reagan and John Paul II had to say, these are not coincidences.
So God has included Revelation 13. It exposes Satan's end-time war strategy.
Absolutely.
But right after Satan's end-time war strategy, God's like, this is my strategy. And he's going to have
chapter 14.
Yeah. He's going to have a people who will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You know, it's describing them there, the 144,000 follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And then there's those three angel messages.
Which is what we're sharing each and every week.
Yes.
That needs to go to the whole world.
Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth.
Babylon, the second angel's message, has fallen. And in Revelation chapter 18, Babylon falls in 1 hour. This system, this worldwide system that combines politics, combines religion, combines economics, comes together under spiritualism. Spiritualism is that super glue that brings it all together, where all the nations wander after the beast. And so we are seeing all this taking place. And then we've got the second coming at the end of Revelation 14.
Exactly. So we're right here.
And we are right there.
It's amazing. But I was thinking too, it's sort of a different topic, but the same topic, but I was reminded of the Hebrew midwives, like when Pharaoh had his make Egypt great again plan, you know, he wanted everybody to, he was worried about the Israelites, so he decided we'll kill the babies and all of that. And the Hebrew midwives, it's in the first chapter of Exodus, they decided that they wouldn't follow the mandate of the king because they've lived by a higher law and they would preserve life because they worship the life giver and that life is sacred. But it's interesting. It says in verse 17 of chapter 1, it says the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Again, there was people, humble people. We know their names because the Bible includes them, but they frustrated the plans of the enemy, and it was simply because they feared God. And at the end in the Revelation, fear God, give glory to him. God's end time people frustrate the plans of Satan because they put him first.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you have in Revelation, you have those that remain faithful to God no matter what the cost. They worship the Creator. Revelation 14, verse 7, very clearly, you know, there are those that worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water, a direct quote out of the Sabbath commandment. And whereas the rest of the worship mandates in Revelation 13 and 14, all seven of them are in connection with worshiping the beast according to his mandate, which is that false day of worship that will be established when church and state come together. And the Bible says church and state is coming together. And, you know, we are almost there, Sharissa. Things are happening so, so quickly. I mean, you know, there was great applause when Donald Trump signaled that, you know, we are a country. We are a country under God. You know, we are one nation under God, and God will be front and center in this administration, and we've already talked about that at length. You know, we are one people, just quoting, one family and one glorious nation under God. You know, that was kind of how he was, you know, winding up his speech. And with church and state uniting, we are seeing that. We are seeing that in a way we've never seen that before.
It's true.
You know, the promise to the evangelicals, you get me into power and I'm going to give you unprecedented power, the Donald Trump Bible. You know, we've talked about all this stuff. Let me read this to you. We've only got a couple of minutes left. But from that book, The Great Controversy, and this is what we are seeing taking place before our very eyes. The last paragraph. The impending conflict, the dignitaries of church and state will unite. We are seeing that right now. To bribe, persuade, or compel all classes to honor the Sunday. The lack of divine authority will be supplied by oppressive enactments. Political corruption is destroying love of justice and regard for the truth. Hello? Have we read that? Have we been talking about that? And even in free America, rulers and legislators, in order to secure public favor, will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. Liberty of conscience, which has cost so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. In the soon coming conflict, we shall see exemplified the prophet's words, which we read of from Revelation 12:17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are seeing all this taking place, my friend. Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be looking up and be part of that faithful group that will stand though the heavens fall.
We can't trust government.
No, we can't.
We can't trust people. We can only trust Christ.
Amen. And regardless of what executive orders are made at the end of time, our executive orders come from Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that has given us his executive orders. It's called the Bible, God's truth, and we follow God's truth no matter what the cost, because God has the final word.
That's it.
And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We've read the back of the book.
Amen.
His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And as Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom will last forever and ever and ever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's the golden age. That's the golden age.
That's the real golden age.
That's the real golden age. The golden age that Donald Trump is referring to is simply
that.
Fool's gold. Fool's gold. So if you put your faith and trust in Donald Trump's golden age, you are a fool. Sharissa said it. I'm just repeating her words.
All right. Let's listen to the Armor of God, Souls West Collective for the Armor of God. And then we'll wrap up with some summative thoughts.
I'm
The Armor of God, Souls West Collective, and this brings us to the
I
end.
I can't believe it. I'm going to cry.
Don't do that.
It'll sound really bad with my croaky voice, my cry.
We've so enjoyed our time with you all today. We hope you've enjoyed today's program too. But Pastor Danny, how would you like to summarize all of these epic thoughts that we've been talking about?
All right. Well, I want to go to the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, but I do want to make a note to what Rochelle, our wonderful producer, shared with us during that beautiful song, just a little insight and just tying up some more.
Right.
I should say not tying up, but making some more connecting points, joining the dots, the prophetic dots. Mm. And she shared in connection with Babylon's origins, which are the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
There in Genesis chapter 11. And there, the builders of the Tower of Babel, their aim was to make a name for themselves by building this tower to the heavens, because they did not believe and trust the word of God, where God said, I've given you the rainbow as a sign that there will never, ever be another flood again. But no, they wanted to build a tower all the way up into the heavens where God is, in order to say that we will be our own gods. We don't need you. We don't need your word. We don't believe in you necessarily. We will make a name for ourselves. And God comes in and he brings about confusion. And in Revelation, we have Babylon saying, I don't need anyone. Mm-hmm. Babylon, I am great. I've got the merchants of the earth. I've got the kings of the earth, the political leaders. I've got everything. And God says, in one day, your plagues will come. In one day, your destruction will come. Confusion will come. How Babylon begins is how Babylon ends.
Great.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Point.
Thank great you, Rochelle. Point. Great point, Rochelle. Thank you so much. All right.
This is the beauty of Bible study. Like when you study the Bible together, the Holy Spirit always, he brings new thoughts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So Babylon will be destroyed. Yes. Babylon will be destroyed. That's Revelation chapter 18. But in Revelation chapter 19, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is coming. And I just want to read to you here just these beautiful words here in Revelation 19. After Babylon's fall, we have these words. After these things, verse 1, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And then I'll just skip a little bit there, and I'm going to go down to verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This here is speaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb. the marriage here, the bride is the church, those that have been faithful to God for the last 6,000 years that are ready to be received into the marriage supper of the Lamb that Jesus
Christ. Meet the bridegroom.
Meet the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And so this is what we are looking forward to, Charissa. And I believe that day is not far distant. If God doesn't have to put up the handbrake again, and I pray that he won't. I sense that he won't this time, that those final movements indeed will be rapid ones and we'll be seeing the King of Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I think we can pray on those thoughts with our listeners and yeah, all right, I'll pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word, for truly it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path in this dark world. And we thank you for the hope that we have in looking to Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to keep looking up, looking to Jesus so that we can be ready. We pray for our listeners, guide them by your spirit as they study your word, lead them and help us to plant our feet on the solid rock, which is Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to study this message and also to share it. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead us to more people so that they can also hear these wonderful things, so that know that this world, with all of its pain, all of its misery and bloodshed, it's coming to an end, and a better world where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, it is not far away. So keep us faithful to that, to Jesus, until that day, we pray. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. And folks, remember, it's from Trump to the sound of the trumpet, ? I'm excited.
Jesus is coming again. We hope you've enjoyed this program, but stay by because there's another live broadcast on this channel coming to us from Adelaide, the Drive Time Show. And remember, as you leave us in this program, that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Love of God. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Oh, the overwhelming name.
you won't climb out, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.